Come on, Queen Elizabeth.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sucks.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Wednesday, June 6th. The Devils and Kings are playing Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and you have joined us because this is better than that. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for being here. We love you. Good night, everybody. Eddie, how are you, buddy?
They say June flowers bring April showers, and I hope there's a rain of ticker tape that comes down at the Kings tonight. And the Devils get shut out and swept. I think the first team to be swept in 14 years, I think, if it happens tonight. Let's hopefully to be swept in the Stanley Cup Finals. I hope it happens. It couldn't happen to a stupider, more idiotic team. But next year, I was thinking, you know, we're going to hear from Chico. Well, the Devils got through the Stanley Cup by this and that. Oh, boy. But I heard the Islanders, the Devils are shaking things up by putting in Peter Sikora and Matthias Tallinder. Oh, boy, that just makes me quake in my boots if I were to say.
Are you taking any solace whatsoever in the Devils losing this series?
Well, kind of. Like, I want them to lose, but now that it's on the table, they may get totally embarrassed by getting swept. You always look for the retorts in the future of what Devil fans are going to say, like, well, we beat you and got to the Cup, yeah, and then you only got three more goals than we did in the Cup, you know. I'm already looking for those defenses, you know, like, you know.
He's already got a list of comebacks. He's got index cards.
Yeah, you got to prepare yourself for the war, the battle of words. So you always got to look for it. I would love nothing better than the Devils to accomplish absolutely zero in this Stanley Cup. It doesn't make the Rangers season come back, but I still got that Sicilian side of me, the vengeance side that wants them embarrassed.
Okay. Makes sense. It's just I'm taking note. You know, I've seen a lot of Ranger fans just getting all excited.
I could
care less. Haven't watched 1 minute of this Stanley Cup Finals, and if that makes me a bad hockey fan, so fucking be it.
What it is, first of all, it's kind of different. Well, I don't know if it's different, but you know, we do these shows and we cover the Rangers all year round. I need a break. Frankly, I can't. I watch so much hockey. I watch every game of every period. I know a lot of the guys here too. They watch everything. Then we got to do a show about it. And we got to talk about it. And we got to have guests about it. And it's talking about it all the time. It's refreshing, and especially the way the Rangers played this year, when everything was so tight. I mean, you know, my ulcer was acting up. So I needed the break. I don't watch the games because now I feel like if I watch it, I'll jinx it, which that's a whole another piece of psychosis, my own personal psychosis that I go through. So now I just wait for it to go to overtime if it does go to overtime and just see the highlight reels of Brodeur, letting in goals. So
I'm fine with it
the way it is.
I see what Gina's saying in the chat room. Rangers would have gotten their asses kicked too. That may be true, Gina, but I'd rather lose in the finals than lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'd rather lose to the Kings than lose to the Devils.
Yeah.
So that's why it's hockey season's over as far as I'm concerned. It's been over since last Friday night, and like I said, haven't watched 1 minute of the finals. Don't care. Get it over with and bring on the draft and free agency.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to sound like we're not hockey fans. I guess I am. I'm certainly a hockey fan, but I've never been a big, Stanley Cup guy. Like, I'll watch it, but, I think the Detroit-Pittsburgh series, I was pretty into a couple years back. Because that was so close and, two real, powerhouses going at it. But am I going to watch New Jersey? I've seen enough of New Jersey. And the Bryce Salvador and the Ryan Carter and the Steven Gionta show to last me a lifetime. So,
Here's what I care about. I care about the Kings winning tonight, and I care about Zach Parise staying healthy through the rest of this game.
Right.
Because the countdown to the end of his Devil career is on.
Well, I certainly like him. I keep getting, a lot of Ranger fans who are kind of, don't listen to this broadcast that I talk to. They say, well, where are the Rangers going to get the room for the cap-wise? And I keep trying to tell them, they'll make room. This guy will go, this guy. But people doubt me. And people also doubt me when I said you can get, who are you going to get to replace? Say they part ways with Prust or they part ways with Fedotenko. Who are you going to get to replace them?
Come on. It's Prust and Fedotenko.
That's what I'm saying. I think everybody gets super attached to these guys and doesn't realize there are better hockey players out there, maybe younger that can, and I'm not saying I want to get rid of them both. I think on last week's show I kind of intimated that I do want them to part ways with those guys just because I think Fedotenko's good, but he's just getting too old. And Prust, who just had hand surgery, right, today? I think he had hand surgery today or yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
He had surgery.
At least to me.
Breaking news. So he's a guy that's, I think he can be replaced. I don't know. I know we all fell in love with him, and he's certainly a hustler. He's a guy. I just think we need a little bit more speed. We'll get into that later or whenever, but those things to be addressed on the third and fourth line. And if, one of the good things about obtaining a guy like Parise would be that it moves everybody down a spot. So then the third line becomes a better third line. Where this happened when we got Richards. It moved everybody down one. It wasn't Gavrik with, Callahan and Dubinsky. Now it was Dubinsky. So I will see what happens with the trades and the whole things. Everybody's got
Stabinski. That's the best one. Not for nothing. I know we're just speculating, but come December, when Marion Gaborik is healthy again, you go out and get Zach Parise, and you're lining up Parise and Gaborik and Richards, if you can do it, on that first line. That's a premier first line right there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Once Gabby gets back, I think, people want to start making lines. Now you've got guys guys, really, a good third line, because those guys, some of them second line as we have, along with the third line.
Yeah, and we got a bunch of third liners that belong on a fourth line. So, and Zach Parise, if you ask me, he's a Tortorella kind of player. I mean, you know, he goes out there, he kills penalties. He plays a hard game. You know, he doesn't shy away from contact. Given the choice, I'll take him over Rick Nash. Nine ways to Sunday, or whatever it is they say. I don't want Rick Nash. I'm back off that. I don't want him. Forget it. I'm off the Rick Nash wagon. And Parise, they can make his contract fit. Make it fit. Sather will wield his magic wand, and all will be well.
Well, he's certainly a player that, you know, I think is really the fit. You know, he really is the fit. Now, like last year, we thought that Brad Richards was the fit. And let's face it, Brad Richards had a good season. Did he bring us to the promised land? No. But I still think we've got a couple strides there. Plus, the Kings have just hit such a streak. I mean, they are just firing all the cylinders. And this is a team that similarly played throughout the season like the Rangers did. And then they just hit a gear offensively, just catapulted them. And, they made trades at the deadline that did work. The Jeff Carter trade's now looking like that was a smart trade. He winds up getting a big overtime goal. I'm not second-guessing Sather for not getting anybody at the trading deadline. I think the Rangers season ran its course, the course it was supposed to be. Unfortunately, we had to lose to the Devils. Parise is a really good player. I think he played on. Yeah, he was on the Team USA team with Drury, Callahan, and on the Olympic team. And he fits in, like you said. He's a penalty killer, and he's just. If they can make it do it, I'd much rather have him than Nash at this point.
Right.
So that's how I feel about that.
You know, it's with Parise on the team. It's not like. You know, he's not like Marion Gaborik, where if the Rangers take a couple of penalties in a row or a five-minute major or something like that, you don't see Marion Gaborik for 10 minutes. You know? The Parise,
right.
You can still throw out there. And I don't know how many. I mean, the Devils led the league in shorthanded goals. He plays on the penalty kill. I don't know how many of those shorthanded goals were his, but, you know, at least, you know, it's nice when you have a guy that does all the things he can do plus kill penalties. So we'll see. I think, but I do think they'll target him, and I do think and they can make him fit. But
yeah,
now I'm seeing a lot of talk about, you know, of course everybody thinks they're going to trade Dubinsky, and I don't think they're going to trade Brandon Dubinsky for the simple fact.
Can they?
Well, they could, but could his value be any lower than it is right now? What are you going to get for Brandon Dubinsky? You know.
Well, how many goals did he have last year?
One.
No, he had like eight, right?
Something like that. 8 or 9, yeah.
All right. He had 10. Howie's saying 10.
All right.
I didn't even know he got the double digits. He must have gotten hot late. He had 10. He had 23 the year before.
Right.
But he had 5 empty netters in that year. So he only had 18 with a goalie. So right now, in the last 2 years, Brandon Dubinsky has scored 28 goals with a goaltender in the net. Now, I'm no mathematician, but that's an average of 14 per year. How much are you going to get for a 14-goal scorer? A 14-year goal scorer. I mean, and this guy plays, you know, first, second-line minutes in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, and you know, I know he's young and all, but you're talking about a guy who, 40 points, 41 points, 44 points, 54 points, 34 points. So essentially, you're looking at a 40-point, 45-point guy right now. What are you getting for him? You know, I mean, this isn't like going out and making a deal for, a Stamkos 2 years ago, like that handshake deal that Sather reportedly had. You know, it's Brandon Dubinsky. You know, it's not Stamkos, he's Stinkos. But he was
Ryan
a plus
Dubinsky, 5 shots on goal in this game. Brian Dubinsky.
Stupinski.
Sorry,
Stupinski.
Brian Stupinski. Now, he was so bad in that game, Joe was calling him Brian, trying to change his mojo.
Right.
So I don't know. Stupinski to me is a guy, I look back at all the guys who got the payday. This is something that sits in my craw. And I know people say, Eddie, or Jimmy, or Jim. They go, Jim, you're not paying their salary. What do you care what they make? Because I care. Because the Rangers are in a cap situation, and they've been able to get the value. And I like to see a player respond after they get paid. Positively. Step up their game to the next level. Because a lot of that money that was invested in Stupinski is invested for what he's going to do, not what pay off what he's done in the past. Well, Mark Stahl got his payday. What did he do 2 years ago? Remember, Jim?
Became an all-star.
Right. Dan Girardi got his payday. Next year, became an all-star. Ryan Callahan got his payday. Had a terrific season this year. Terrific. Stupinski gets his contract in the same year. What do we get? Ungas. Zippo. I get a bunch of nothing. A whole lot of nothing I got. That's right. And so I find that I take a little, I start harboring a little bit of resentment towards that, because a lot of Rangers have stepped it up, and Stupinski to me was a guy who was just too inconsistent. Now, I don't think I'm ready to give him up, but if he was to go away, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think, going back to what you said, the problem is, who's going to want him for $4.2 million or whatever he's getting? I know $4 million he's getting at least. I did a whole song about it. I should have.
$4 million.
My buddy.
Although I heard the Paulie D show is going to be on tomorrow night. Last one for the summer. They're taking the summer off.
The season finale.
Who shot Kotze?
I was just going to say, who shot Kotze?
I don't think anybody's going to shoot Kotze. Kotze is a monster. Paulie, on the other hand.
So if your lips are wet and ready to go, hold on. Head hits. Any head hit.
Thank you, Paulie.
Right there was the condensed version of tomorrow's show.
Oh, except
so you don't have
we
to
all
listen.
Know your nose is growing right now, too, there, Pinocchio.
I might have to break out the video before the end of the night.
Oh, you're cruel.
They want to hear the Doobie song in the chat room. You want to play the Doobie song and then we can take calls?
Yeah, we might as well.
All right.
You got it?
Yep. Ready to go. Here we go. Thank you.
the bitch.
He's Brandon. He's Alaskan. We love him. We're all gonna cheer when he hits that net.
The bitch game. The bitch game.
Never gets old.
Anyway, we gotta cut it down. Maybe a fade out after the second verse or something. But no, it's still. But like, you know, a lot of people saying, "Are we gonna forgive him?" I want him to succeed. I you know, we take shots at the people we love. But that doesn't mean we don't root for them. I was hoping that Brandon would really break out in the playoffs, but then he got hurt and. Rangers looked better with him in the lineup, I thought, in the Devils series.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what is it? It is, as they say. So,
maybe he doesn't get hurt. Maybe he does get hot. Maybe it doesn't take 7 games to beat the Senators or the Capitals. Who knows? We'll never know.
Who knows? We'll never know. It's dead and gone, as they say. I'm just saying, when I was talking about Prust having his hand, he tweeted today, "Hey, Ranger fans, would just like to thank you all for your love and support this season. It was a great ride. We finished the job next year."
Ooh. Oh, shut up. Oh, we're going to finish the job next year. Oh, shut up.
Come on, guys. Let's rally.
Go do
come
it.
On.
Oh, don't give me that. Don't give me that shit in June. Talk is cheap. Play the game. We're going to finish the job next year. Then what? Then what if you don't? What if they don't? Then what? Then who's going to listen to him ever again? You know Mark Messier there with the guarantees. Relax there, Chiefy.
He's not even on the team yet for next year. He's guaranteed stuff.
Joby, which I know, he's a real Joby Messier, he is.
Joby Messier guarantee. That's the guarantee you're going to stink. Joby Messier. Now, this is another thing. We were talking about this before. Tortorella was on NBC Sports with Bob Costas last night.
Yes.
Anybody catch this?
Costas the Crazy Greek.
Costas the Crazy Greek. and did you watch this interview? I did not see it.
Haven't seen it. I have some of the audio that I've only listened to about the first minute of it, and I kind of got annoyed and shut it off, and I figured I'll just save it for when we play it on the show.
Well, I like the fact that I was saying this, like, it was, I think, before Game 3 of the Kings-Devils series, and he's at the Rangers training center, and I'm like, or the practice facility, and I'm like, what if this guy go home? I mean, really, give it up to us. What are you doing over there? Laundry? I mean, go out, reach it home. Open up the walk and go up to Florida.
He's changing the life. He's got a honeydew list a mile long.
I mean, come on.
They got an upstairs toilet in the building that needs unclogging.
Go home. Go home. It's over, bro.
Go to Tahiti.
I'm off. Like, they need this hothead around that training facility? Flipping out about the light bulbs and
I just think it's funny how he's got nothing to say to nobody while the season's on. And now, conveniently, they lose. The Devils are in the Stanley Cup, and all of a sudden, he's everywhere. He's like Vince Vaughn doing appearances on all the talk shows. You know, he's on with Francesa, he's on with Michael Kay, he's on with Bob Costas.
Now he's Mr. Accessible.
He's going to be on The View. He's going to be on Ellen.
He's going to be dancing with Ellen.
He's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. He's everywhere.
Mr. He's Mr. Party Man now.
America's Got Torts. Yeah, he's everywhere. So, do you want to play this audio, or what do you want to do? You want to take calls first?
Yeah, play the audio first. I mean, I'm going to get some reaction out of me.
All right. It's about 4 minutes, so bear with us here. If you want me to stop it at some point, just tell me to stop it, but I couldn't clip it, so.
I'm only kidding.
Here we go.
You do differently in retrospect. And if you're back in the same spot, and you hope to be, because you hope to go deep into the playoffs and maybe go all the way and win the cup, so you're going to be there again, what would you do differently next time around?
Well, it's hard for me to answer that because I don't know. I don't go in here rehearsed. It's hard for me after games, I'll admit it to you, Bob, and to go in there and answer a bunch of questions. I'm not good at it. After a game, I'm not good at it. You have 10 minutes to regroup, whether you win or lose. I still have a lot of things going on in my head about the game. I've never been good at it after games. So what would I do differently? I can't answer it because I'm going to go in there and whatever happens, happens, I guess. There's a long line of people coming after me because of this stuff. I'm not saying I did it the right way. I'm not looking to disrespect people. But I also have a tough time in answering questions that really they have the answer to. It's to fill their blogs, to fill their tweeters or whatever you call that stuff, the Twitter accounts and all that. And I'm not too interested in the social media. I'm more wrapped up with the hockey club at that time, and that's my total focus.
I'm going to grant you this. In fact, I'm in complete agreement with part of it, and it's probably only gotten worse with some aspects of social media. But there's also the traditional mainstream media, and even some of those people may be sloppy, some may be uninformed, some may be mean-spirited, some may be untrustworthy, and you've got to take all of that into account. You don't have to indulge every question or divulge every secret, but it's part of your profession to somehow figure out a way to deal with it in a fashion that doesn't reflect poorly on you and your organization. Agreed?
No question. And listen, I totally understand that these men and women have a job to do. I totally understand that. And I've said it to a couple of people because this has kind of taken on a life of its own as far as what's happened. I've left a few of those media scrums after games, and I've sat back and I said, why the hell did you do that? And so it's certainly not to try to hurt anybody. So that's the way I look at it. I'm not looking to disrespect people. There are a few people in there that I really have no respect for. I'll admit that. But I still know they have to do their job. And so hopefully along the way, we'll be able to get them some information as we go forward.
So you're a lot more conciliatory now, at least in tone, than when you called a few of the people who cover the team idiots. How much of that is just a cooling off period? You're not competing anymore. You've had a chance to reflect. Or is it possible that somebody, either at Madison Square Garden with the Rangers or somebody with the league, Gary Bettman or someone high up in the league, got to you and said, hey, Torts, we need to get a handle on this?
No one has really gotten to me. Bob, I want you to understand, I don't take back with a couple of reporters there. I do think they're idiots. I think sometimes there has to be an accountability from the reporters also as far as how they present themselves and how they go about their business. So, again, it's easy to say I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for most of the things I said. I wish I handled it a little bit better with certain people because I've got some good friends there. I've been in the league a long time, and I've got some really good friends there. But there are a couple, and I don't take back that. And really, no one has come to me and said, you got to cool down. I do not want to put people in that type of spot. I don't want to embarrass people. I can't promise you I won't do it again because I'm not rehearsed. I'm not sure what's going to happen with my emotions. I think it's one of my strongest traits as a coach, and I think it's one of my evils as a coach is my emotion.
There it is.
All right. Well, I got a couple things. I mean, at the end, he makes the comment, which is right. We all know this as fans. His emotions sometimes are the worst. usually when we're losing. When we're winning, again, he's giggles, smiles, and laughs over there. The problem is, he says, I can't guarantee I'm not going to do it again. Where's his accountability? Where's his maturity level? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you've got to be able to take it as well as give it.
Right.
This is the world we live in. And I don't like it, and I think it's embarrassing for a fan that we have a guy that is... Now, listen, those guys are probably idiots. I don't like the way he kind of... They were talking about the Twitter and the social media. Acosta's got a boner there. He was like, oh, yes, they're not real media like we are, you know, and all that. But I will give Costas, you know, some accolades for asking towards the hard question, you know, about, you know, doesn't this reflect on the team and what's thought of the team and, you know, your actions. But I think it's a maturity level with this guy. And it's that stuff is I can't guarantee. And nobody's going to talk to him. Dolan hates the media. What do you think, little Johnny Rosasco? Hey, coach, calm down. Like, what is he going to do? I mean, not that Torch is the biggest guy in the world, but I'm sure Torch would bitch slap Rosasco across the room if he came up to him with that. So, there's something I don't like about this whole Tortorella thing, you know, just as a fan. I love him as a coach for the most part. And, you know, this also goes back. A lot of Ranger fans, Jim, they think that, you know, he's kind of a hypocrite because he'll punish players for undisciplined play, and then he'll pull something undisciplined that either affects the game, affects a player during the game. It's kind of a mixed message there.
I agree with you. You know, it's one thing, you know, Ranger fans, I think a majority of them, I think a majority of Ranger fans genuinely like Torts. They like his gruff exterior. They like the fact that he's a tough guy and he's a little bulldog and, you know, he barks and he's got these facial expressions and, you know, he's ranting and raving and waving his arms and flapping around and everything. And everybody, you know, and they like that about him. But, you know, you can be all of those things without being a bully. And that's really all he is. He's just a bully. You know, you can't, I'm sorry, but, and I said this, I just said this in the chat room. If I'm at work and I refer to any, if I say these people are idiots, those people are idiots, our suppliers are idiots, the people that work in a certain location are idiots, I'm either going to be fired or I'm going to face some kind of action by my company. This man is a head coach of an Original Six franchise in the NHL, in the biggest city in the world, the media capital of the world, and I just think he looks like a jackass when he does this, and then to go on there and say, oh, I can't tell you it's not going to happen again. I understand he doesn't like dealing with the media, and you know what? Most of the great coaches in any sport typically don't. Bill Parcells certainly had no love for the media. And yeah, he had his discussions and he'd get on them, but he was a bully too. But at least at the same time, you know, he'd bully them, but then, you know, off camera and off to the side, he'd talk to them and have conversations with them and laugh and joke with them. You know, there's none of that with this guy. And I love the fact that he sticks up for his team. Of course you want that.
You know, and another thing is, he's still saying they're idiots. He won't even, like, concede that, you know, maybe I said idiots in the heat of the moment, and, you know, he says,
right.
Well, I think they're idiots.
Right.
Like, I guess, you know, when he's not accountable to what he says by anybody, he can say whatever he wants to say, but he doesn't understand. As a fan, one of the things I would say if I ever met him and had a chance to talk to him is like, listen, dude, you're embarrassing to me as a fan when you act like that. It's always at a point where I only care about wins and losses and, you know, how good the Rangers are. And listen, I'm happy that he's a good coach and we've had it, you know, he's so polar opposite of Tom Rennie. Tom Rennie was like a quiet, nurturing guy, you know, talked to everybody, friend of the friendless. And this guy is the complete opposite, you know. But I don't want him acting like a jerk. And I think you summed it up great. I mean, you know, he's a bully. But he, you know, he has no remorse. There's no accountability. He's saying to Bob Costas, I don't know if it's not going to happen again. Dude, get some therapy, man. Seriously, it's only a sport. How to dehumanize people.
And I don't, you know, and, you know, oh, my emotions get... Everybody's got emotions. Everybody gets emotional. Everybody has bad days at work. You know, but not everybody throws these tantrums. Every coach has to lose. Every coach at some point has to lose. The really good ones, even the really good ones, even the best of the best, have to lose big games. Somebody has to lose big games.
But it's funny how it's just funny how the attitude is different after a loss. That's the thing. That comes off to me as a sore loser. That's what that comes off, the immaturity.
Well, you know, that's another thing. It's okay to be a sore loser. I'm one. I don't take it very well. A lot of you don't know, a lot of people don't know that because, you know, I try and temper myself when we do these shows because, let's face it, nobody wants to hear me get on here and just whine and bitch and complain. But I don't take losing well. I'll rant and rave and throw stuff around the house and I won't talk to people for, you know, I'll go hide in the bedroom for a while.
I didn't know this about you.
But I try and temper myself because. You know, we don't have a job to do, but we have this thing of ours, as Paulie Walnuts used to say. If the Pats had won the Super Bowl, would you have been a sore loser then? Yes. You know why, Cutter, since you asked? Because I handle Giant losses worse than I handle Ranger losses.
Wow.
In some cases, much worse. Much worse. Some cases.
Maybe you and Torts can get a group rate.
But see, but I don't. I get mad and I rant, and rave, and I may throw stuff. But I don't call my wife an idiot. I don't call my daughter an idiot. I don't call you an idiot. I don't call my friends idiots. I don't go to work and rant, and rave at people. And you're an idiot and you don't know anything. And I like what he says. I don't get into the social media. Well, you don't like the media, and you ain't social, so why the hell would you be in the social media?
Exactly. Shocker, Torts. You're not into the social media.
So.
I think as you get older, I don't know, I take it a lot. It kills me, but I just can't get steamed for hours and days. But I'll tell you that elimination. I'm still not completely over it, I think. Until it's over, the season's over, then I'll be over it. And the Devils have been extinguished. By the way, 0-0 midway through the second period in that game. Ooh, that's a shocker. It's supposed to be a ratings bonanza in this.
People must be lined up in Times Square just dying for information on this game. Well, Cutter, for Christ's sake, if you got sour every time the Leafs lost, you'd have jumped off a bridge by now.
Oh, that team is doomed. I don't think the Leafs are going to win a Stanley Cup in my lifetime.
Joe Catroni has just said it in the chat room. Jim!
Jim!
Jim! He texted
me. We got some.
Jim!
I think we got some phone calls.
Yeah, I think this is Rock first. He's been on hold the longest. Rock, is that you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
How are you, buddy? How you doing?
Good,
thanks
good.
For holding for a while.
No problem. It's funny because, you know, sitting on hold, I was, you know, thinking about a lot of stuff you guys have been saying, and I agree a lot. And, Eddie, I'm kind of with you. I just want to kind of get this Stanley Cup Finals over with, and I think we can move on from this season. It's been really strange, you know, with there not being any hockey the last few weeks. And I kind of gotten spoiled. So I'm looking forward to the Kings hopefully ending this tonight and that we can get the season started, because I turn on the NHL Network and all they keep playing over and over and over again are these King-Devil games, and it's brutal. But, just to kind of close up the Rangers season with the playoffs and everything, I don't think they would have beaten the Kings even if they went there. I mean, this is like a buzzsaw, this team. I mean, it's amazing how they've come together, and I think they underachieved a lot of the season, and it's just amazing how when you got kind of everything going on all cylinders, how you can just, you know, drive right through the playoffs. So, you know, I also think the Devils put every ounce of energy they could into beating the Rangers, which, as you can see, they have had nothing in the series. So it is what it is, but just to put a bow on everything with that.
Rock, I totally agree with you about the King. If the Rangers have gotten to the finals against the Kings, very good chance, you know, it could be the Rangers getting swept.
Mm-hmm.
But losing the Stanley Cup finals would have been a lot easier to take than losing the Devils.
Oh, and I agree with you. And I honestly think that Lundqvist might have stolen one of those games. You know, I really think, especially one of the games at home. I mean, if in all things being the same, those two overtime games, I think maybe one of them might have went the Rangers' way. But, you know, it is what it is. But, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Just a little bit on you touched on Parisi. I want to save him for last because I had a whole different thing, and then you kind of – when you brought up the whole penalty-killing aspect, you kind of changed my opinion a little bit, so I'll bring him up later. I don't know if you guys saw the report in the Post on Sunday about Alexander Radulov.
Oh, fuck
and
him.
That whole situation. Now, I'm only bringing it up for this reason. People went crazy when they heard that. Oh, I can't believe this. We're going to waste. This is Nick Zverev. This is Alexander Frolov all over again. And in all honesty, it probably would be in more ways than one. I'm only going to say this. If they brought him in, and I'm using as a big if nothing else, I would have to see, one, what are they giving up for him? The guy's only 25 years old. What are you giving up for him, and what are you paying him? And that's really where I look at it. And if you're bringing him in, are you bringing him in to be the guy, like they tried to bring Zverev in to be their main guy, you know, their go-to guy, or are you bringing him in to kind of be an accent piece or to kind of add to your offensive depth? That would be my only concern. I mean, the Rangers won the Cup with one of the biggest enigmas we've ever seen in Alexei Kovalev. So if your room is strong enough, you know, you bring in a guy like that, maybe he conforms. If it's for 1 year, it is what it is. That's my only thing on him. But I just said, when they were talking about bringing him in, I said, you know, I'm not totally against it. And, Eddie, I'm much like you. I'm a big fan of the Russian hockey player, much like probably no one else in New York. I mean, I loved the Zverev trade when they first got him. I was a huge Sharapanov fan. I followed his career all through Russia up until his unfortunate death. And I was a big Kovalev fan. I was a big Pavel Bure fan. So, and I was a big Gratchev fan, as a matter of fact. I have a few of his hockey cards. So I'm big into – I like the Russian hockey player. So I'm maybe a little more biased than a lot of other people. But that's my only thought on him. I don't know. I know you guys probably hate the idea of even the remote chance to bring him in.
There's certainly a mystique about the Russian players. Let's face it. This mystique has been around for 30 years for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What they can do and the skill set they can bring. Now, there's no doubt that Radulov has some talent. I just don't think that Tortorella would ever be on board to getting a guy that the name ends in Ov. I mean, he's got already got Anisimov, who he doesn't really – he's not really too keen on I see your point. I could see them at the right price and the right trade. Yeah, take a shot at him. But I think they're going in a different direction, even though perhaps they should be going in this direction. I mean, Tortorella said at the end of the season he'd like to have more scoring. I think this guy would certainly be better than what they got. Frankly, I haven't seen him play. He played like 20 games with Nashville last year or something like that.
Yeah.
He came towards the end of the season. I don't know much about him. Although, you know, he was a KHL phenom, right, I think. So it's like, I don't know too much about him other than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I don't, your point of view is good. And I wanted to get back to the devil thing. You know, you guys, well, at least Jim, losing to the Devils, I mean, I don't know. If the Rangers would have won that Devils series, I know, one, Jim would be so much more happier. But I think I agree with you guys as far as the Kings matchup. By that time, the Rangers would have been exhausted. They played too many games. They played too many minutes. They played too least. They shortened their bench to a ridiculous amount, especially on the defensive side. It just was not going to happen. And I think the Devils, frankly, like you guys have said, and which I wasn't privy to, that a lot of Devil fans really care about what the Rangers do, more than almost what they're doing or what other teams are doing around them. And so this has kind of reflected that. I think it was a big emotional victory for the Devils to beat the Rangers. It was their cup, and you're seeing the results of a hot, fantastic Kings team just blowing the doors off a team that just emotionally is drained. They got what they wanted. That's the way I look at it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I always said, the Islanders, I mean, we've always said it. I mean, every time the Islanders beat the Rangers, it's guaranteed they're losing that next game. So, I mean, these two teams get so up to playing against the Rangers that you're right. There's that emotional letdown that following game, and I don't know. It's, you know, the teams change every year for the most part, yet the results seem always to be the same. So that's an interesting point. Just on the free agency in general and kind of moving forward, you kind of sold me on Parisi. I was a little bit reluctant. I didn't think he had a fantastic playoff. Obviously, I didn't watch the Florida series or a lot of the Philly series. And I watched some of the Philly series. I just felt, in my opinion, all things being equal, if Nash was a free agent and Parisi was a free agent, and you kind of tilted me a little bit when you said the penalty killing, which I think is a huge thing to have, like you said, to not have a guy sitting on the bench. I think that's a fantastic thing. And then that's, you know, the Rangers, when the Rangers were good, especially in 94, they had a great penalty killing crew between, you know, Messier and Graves, and they had guys that could kill penalties and could also score shorthanded goals, which I think is vital. All things being equal, the only thing I can say, and I've been on the Nash bandwagon, and, you know, I think a lot of people are a little bit reluctant because they're not sure what the Rangers are going to have to give up for him. To me, the only reason I like Nash more in some capacity is, to me, he fits the biggest need that the Rangers have, and that's size on the wing. They're a very small hockey club. They play hard. They're feisty. They're scrappy. They bang bodies. They hit. You can't question their heart and their tenacity. What Nash brings is he brings a little bit more size, and he brings that elite guy where you can put the puck on his stick, and, you know, he can probably dance through two guys and score, which the Rangers really don't have. They don't have a big body, and that's my only gripe. The only difference that I would say would be between Parisi and Nash is, I don't know, to me Nash is a little bit more of a dominant, really dominant player where you just see that he could do things on his own where I don't know if Parisi is at that level. To me, Parisi is very similar to Gabrick from a star power type of guy and from a point perspective. Nash kind of gives you that little bit more of an elite talent and a little, just a more of a bigger body. And you know, you're playing the Eastern Conference, you're going up against Stamkos, you're going up against Malkin, you're going up against the stars of the Philadelphia Flyers, you're going against Milan Lucic, you're going against some big guys. I just think a little bit more size on the wing is where the Rangers lack more than anywhere else, up front, that is. And that would be my only difference. But you brought up a fantastic point, which I didn't even think about, which is the penalty killing aspect. But, you know, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward. I mean, it's not just Parisi and Nash. They need depth, guys. I mean, I went back and I looked at something. And you know the last time John Mitchell scored this season?
I'm going to go with
November.
February 1st.
January 21st. was the last time he scored. So he went almost 6 months without. Yeah, you were. Very good. He almost went almost 6 months without a goal. I'm not saying you needed him to pump home 15 goals, but maybe a goal here and there, like spread it out a little. I mean, just
second power play. Come on, he got power. He's a second power play center.
And that's my other point.
I mean, it's a joke.
And then I looked at Derek Stefan's numbers. I think he has 5 goals from the end of March through the playoffs. So, I mean, the whole team kind of sagged towards the end, towards March and April anyway, but you need more consistency out of your top bottom two lines. I mean, and they need to work on that as well. The last point is not only do they need to look at their top-end score, their top-end players, where they need another guy that's going to score, but those middle-tier guys are important too. And two guys that I looked at when I was scanning through the UFA list, two guys that I liked, and I think they're both winners, and I think they would help the team as far as depth-wise. The first guy is already a Stanley Cup champion, and I think he'd fit pretty good on the fifth or sixth defenseman, and that's Brad Stewart. You know, he's a big body. He can play 20 minutes. He probably won't cost you a fortune. And he's that Willie Mitchell, Rob Scuderi-type defenseman where he's probably not going to score more than 6 or 7 goals, if that. He's not going to put good points, but you could throw him out there in any situation. You don't have to be worried that someone's going to score against you. And the guy on the back end, the third or fourth line guy that I liked, and I've watched him a lot in the playoffs, is Jarrett Stoll. Again, another guy that's not going to score 15, 20 goals. He'll probably get you 10. He's great in the shootout, and he has extreme tenacity, and he's a great guy as far as a depth guy where I think the Rangers are lacking. So, I mean, I'm just throwing those two guys out there from what I'm scanning.
Just get back to your Nash versus Parisi thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that's killing Ranger fans' interest in Nash is the fact that Columbus, it's a trade where Columbus seems to be at least initially asked way too much from the Rangers, whereas Parisi is just straight up, you know, cash, which,
right.
You know, we're not.
Right, and I think a lot of fans feel that way. That being said, you know, even if they bring Parisi in, you know, I know everyone's going to probably slide down a peg. Maybe Hagelin goes down to the third line. But you figure somebody important, most likely, unless they're going to play, you know, Dubinsky or Anisimov on the fourth line, you figure somebody's going to have to go. I mean, they can't come back with the same exact team as they did last year. I mean, I don't know.
No.
I'm not saying to blow it up by any means, but I'm saying that they, you can't come back with the same exact team. So somebody's going. You would have to think that.
You'll see. You know, guys emerge. I mean, look at the guys this year. You know, we thought Michael Sauer, then he got hurt, and Stroman emerged, and we don't know if Tim Erickson's going to make the team, and do they feel the need to go after a veteran like Stewart, like you mentioned. You know, it's gonna change. I would be very surprised if they go in with the same. As a matter of fact, they're not going in with the same team because you're basically, you know, it's stale. I've seen this thing. I know how this movie ends. So they've got to address some scoring and some speed issues on it. That you can't have a lumbering third and fourth line that spends all its time in its zone blocking shots. You need a forecheck. Got to bring it to them on the third and fourth line.
And I'll tell you, when Preston Fedotenko and Boyle were playing, they did, I mean, especially during the season more than any other time, they were able to pin the play in the zone. But if you can't finish, then, you know, what's really the point? You got to be able to put the puck in the net. I mean, I know you're probably, you're wearing the team down, you're doing this, they're doing their job, blah, blah, blah. But you know, that, those two lines especially, and we saw it, what killed us? I mean, if you look at the Ryan Carter killed us, and who's killing them the guy Frazier, the guy that got in the throw-in from Edmonton for Ryan Smith. He scored some pretty good goals for the Kings. You're getting contributions from the third and fourth line. The Rangers got nothing out of their third and fourth line. They got absolutely zilch. They got really nothing out of any of their forwards, if you really think about it, especially in the Devil Series. So, again, I guess I mean, you can throw all these names against the wall. They definitely need to improve in a lot of areas. But just in closing, you got to be pleased with the way the team has progressed this year, and you got to be pleased about their farm system. I mean, Jasper Fast, who, from all accounts, just from what I've read, I've never seen him play, is supposed to be a really good player. The kid Oscar Lindbergh, who's Tim Erickson's cousin, he's more of a third-line guy, but, you know, he may turn out to be, like, a nice checking forward. You know, they have some depth. They got McElrath. They got Christian Thomas. I mean, they're stacked right now. So, you know, you got to be pleased with the way the team's moving forward. So, I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to the draft.
Yeah, I mean, and just like we said before the playoffs began, we were all worried about this and that. The Rangers now had the bar set since they finished first in the conference that they needed to make some noise in the playoffs, and they did.
Yeah.
I mean, they showed us that they really made some progress, and I agree. Their farm system is – and look at these guys. Like, McDonough was not projected to be a number one pairing defenseman. I mean, he has overshot what they thought that he was going to be. I mean, I think Ryan McDonough is the best defenseman on the Rangers. I mean, that's my opinion.
Do you think the McDonough
Girardi
trade makes up for Rick Middleton?
Well, Rick Middleton,
you know what?
Never
I mean, that's always been the trade that everybody always talks about. You know, an infamous Rick Middleton trade. You know, this McDonough trade has to be up there for the all-time most one-sided trades of all time. You gotta say that, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, this certainly is one of the best Ranger trades ever made. So
I mean,
Go ahead, Jim.
This is, you know, in terms of sports, this is Keith Hernandez for Nick Allen and for Neil Allen and Rick Owenby.
Or David Kohner for Ed Herron.
Ed Hearn, yeah.
Oh,
Ed Hearn, yeah.
Can't pronounce his name right.
Don't worry,
2 weeks in a row, Ed Hearn was mentioned on this show.
Yeah.
I love it. That's probably where I heard it from.
If John Mitchell's on this team, I'm not going to watch any games.
You know what, Eddie, though, John Mitchell would be good if you had – I don't know how to explain it. He doesn't shoot the puck enough, one. And two, you have so many other guys that are very similar. Again, that those third and fourth line is too much alike. You need to have some form of diversity. And the Rays have never had a fourth line. I mean, not that your fourth line needs to be, you know, the scoring you 25 goals, but you need to get some form of production out of them. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you covered a great swath of subjects, and
well, I haven't
good.
Been on the show for a while, so I had a lot built
well,
up. So I appreciate you letting me get it out.
Oh,
so.
No. And I know that you're jonesing because you only follow hockey, which is basically what I do, other than football.
Yeah.
And so any Ranger talk you can get and somebody to talk to, I just like that. I still want to talk hockey. You know,
yes.
Ranger hockey.
Absolutely right.
Thanks for calling in, Rock.
Thanks again, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, Rock. Take care.
Later.
Bye.
John Mitchell.
Bye-bye. All right. Costa's been holding for a long time, so let's talk to Costa. Costa, how are you?
Healing. Just healing.
Healing?
Yeah, what's going on? Give us an update on the broken fibula.
Yeah, fibula broke, yeah. The 21st, the cast comes off, and I get the boot for 2 weeks. So by the 4th of July weekend, I'll be healed up.
Oh, that's good. Have you had a lot of pain?
No pain. None. Zero.
You sound a lot more mellow. Are you on some
Doesn't
kind
he?
Of...
Very,
yeah,
very mellow.
Today?
I'm here.
Have you been watching the Cup?
Yes. I don't care what anybody says. I want a sweep. I want the Devils to feel like this big.
Yeah. guess. Well, yeah, I think you. I mean, does anybody even hear about what the Devils fans say? Is this thing getting coverage here or what? It's like I don't pick up the papers anymore. But does anybody really care? Not around here.
But yeah, I know that, cares.
So what else? What do you think? What's on your mind?
You think we have a pretty high draft pick. We're 28th. Do you think we should deal it for something, or should we keep it?
Pretty high draft pick.
28th low.
Oh.
28th round. 28th pick overall. I think the Rangers should stand pat. I think Gordy Clark is a guy that is so shrewd that we probably can get a decent pick with the 28th. He doesn't pick too many bad first-rounders. And he doesn't pick too many bad players, and they seem to cut bait with these guys once they find out that they're not going to be and they're not what they want. You know, with Ethan Werrick, Grachev, Roman Horik, these guys that they drafted, they kind of figured out they're not the type of players that the development is not where it is. So, no, I think the Rangers will stand pat. I don't see the Rangers making any moves. I don't know how deep this draft is either. It's not. I haven't heard that it's one of the more deeper ones. So I don't know who the Rangers could target anyway. I'm really not that well versed.
One mock says we might get Mateau's boy.
Steph Mateau's boy?
Yep.
Oh wow, that was speaking of our relatives of Stanley Cup. Winners for the Rangers. I heard that Brock Boogaboom got let go by the St. Louis organization. And there was like, well, should we get Brock because of Jeff? And I was like, no, because Brock's nothing like Jeff. Brock's an offensive defenseman, but he's not all that good. Let's hope Boogaboom doesn't hear that. She'll beat me up next time at the viewing party.
Next week on the show, Jeff Boogaboom.
Yeah.
And Brock.
Well, there's not
what I got to say about that. So, all right, that's all you got?
Yeah, I got nothing else. I'm just healing. So,
yeah, well, I hope you feel better, bro.
Thanks,
feel better,
man.
Feel better, thanks. Costa. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Ciao.
Bye. All right. We got we're scheduled for 90 minutes. Of course, we don't have to go 90 minutes if we don't want to. We have Newman on hold. But
we'll talk to Newman and we'll wrap it up because I'm chafing like a bastard. No, I'm really kidding.
I just want to let everybody know that about the big trip the end.
Oh,
of the month.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Blue Shirt Underground Radio, Vegas, baby.
Yeah, tell them all about it.
June 29th and 30th. The heads of Blue Shirt Underground Radio will be conglomerating on Sin City. Eddie and I will be in Las Vegas on June 29th and 30th, hanging out at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Comped rooms, first class. No, I'm just kidding. Big radio
comped
stars
rooms
coming to town. Limos, yep. Flying me in first class from... No. I'm stuffing everything into a backpack so that I don't have to pay for a carry on with Allegiant Airlines that I'm flying.
We're gonna be there. I would love to say we could be covering the NHL awards or whatever's going on there. What, July 1st is free agent actually, isn't it?
Yeah. The awards are the 20th, I think. We'll be at the after party.
Yeah, we're going to be there at the after party, but we will be at the Hard Rock Casino.
throwing our own after party that starts 9 days later.
Yes. We've actually got a cabana, I think, for that rehab thing, which is like Sodom and Gomorrah, if you people don't know about it.
Well, rehab, that's like a music festival they do on Sundays, I think.
No. You don't know what rehab is?
No, I looked it up on the website, and it says it's some kind of music festival that they do on Sundays. Kim Kardashian was just there for rehab on Sunday.
Rehab is like they play music, right? Like over the speakers around the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like scantily clad chicks that are way too young for us. And or if you're into that, scantily clad men who are not into us as well. And it's just drinking and drunk people. And it's, I mean, it's just crazy.
Of course,
crazy.
People do go both ways.
So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a happy time. Plus, yeah. I'll be blitzed.
Now I'm looking at their website. And it says, "Hold on, let me see here." I'm looking at the calendar, and it says Saturday. Where did I just see it? It says Sundays rehab. Saturdays is the Nectar Music Festival. Sundays is rehab, and Mondays is relax.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you got the cabana on Sunday, in which case we'll be roasting under an umbrella.
Oh, I think we got it Saturday, so we went for that stupid music festival.
The Nectar Music Festival.
Maybe Bayside will be playing
there. Oh, there you go. Nice. Collective Soul is there this weekend.
Oh, God. So, yeah, we'll be in gym. We'll be in. There'll be a lot of pics of me and him poolside.
Yes. Lounging. Look like
God.
Like Rock Hudson in the robe and the big glasses.
I look like Jackie Gleason if I wear that robe. You always think about the robe.
Yeah.
So.
Fun, though.
All right. Let's go to Newman.
All right, Edwin Newman from the NBC Nightly News Desk. Where is he?
He's gone.
No, he's there. I can't. Hold on. Hang in there, Newman. What else you got to do? Can you?
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
That's it. I can't put him on. He's gone.
I don't see him.
He hung up. That's why I couldn't put him on. The page had refreshed and he was gone. See? We made him wait too long. He's a big star.
Oh, he's a big star. Maybe Stacy needed him to model one of her dresses.
Get ready with that thing we were doing before. get ready.
Oh, okay.
We surveyed 100 people. Top 99 answers on the board. Name me a famous person from Paramus. Jim. John Newman. Show me John. We've been dying to try out our new buzzer.
I jumped the gun on that one.
Okay.
How about John Mitchell? Do something on John Mitchell.
We surveyed 10,000 Ranger fans. Top 100 answers on the board. Show me 90. Which forwards would you like to see on the Rangers power play? Yes, Jim. John Mitchell. Show me John Mitchell. Aww. Yeah, the
call. Maybe that bit will work better at a later time. It wasn't bad. But so Ranger fans, we'll be back. Vegas is coming up. More buzzer will be coming up as we're here for you all throughout the summer. Well, some of the times during the summer. We'll see you next week, same time, same Ranger channel here on Block Talk Radio, which is the best radio show, best radio carry, internet radio carry on the net. Good night, everybody.
Sorry, I had to do a little something extra for Block Talk. Good night, everybody.